Hot Springs. I'm D.B. Cooper.
And I'm Erin Baber.
That's Rootin' Tootin'.
And we're from the Garland County Library.
And this is Checked Out,
a podcast where we talk about all things library each Friday.
Broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Cell Studios.
Thanks for joining us.
It's sunny out here and 80 degrees on Friday.
No, it's not.
Who are you and what do you do?
Well, I am Tony Webb, and I work in the IT department here at the Garland County Library, and I've been here for just over 15 years, actually.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
15 yeah. years. Wow.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot.
I've seen a lot of changes, a lot of improvements. I'll say this, we've improved a lot in those 15 years. We've progressed a lot for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and to make me look worse, recently we interviewed Kelsey, who was started in tech services
right.
and then moved over to marketing.
Oh, beautiful.
So let's say you were in tech services too.
I was. That was my first real special job here. I was in that department before it was a department. Doing the shipping and receiving and processing. And I loved it. It was great.
Be honest. Brent,
you know, it wasn't great, but it was a neutral factor. No, I had just done it for so long, and I really always wanted to be in IT. And our IT director approached me. I assume he had already talked to Brent and asked it, okay, if he could do a little team trade. So, I was all about it. Having done tech services for so long, I mean, at that point, I've been doing it for over a decade.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get to change jobs, but not change jobs in the same way.
Stay here
where I love.
Yeah.
But also get, you know, a new daily routine and a new way to help people.
And what is your new daily routine?
Well, mostly it's, you know, through the week, I'm just the guy that helps people with their simple computer problems, you know, just helping people get along, get their prints, get their, you know.
There's no just to that. That's a job.
It is a job.
And it's an important job because a lot of people rely on us for that.
It really is important because there's so many times, for instance, last week, I went a little farther than I would have normally, but there's a older lady that had her electricity turned off, and just frustrating trying to get her account set up with Entergy on the phone.
Yeah.
And finally, I just took, you know, talked to the people at Entergy, and I was like, she needs her electricity on tonight. What do we need to do? We need to get this done. And normally that's not something I would do, but, you know, she was really in need of help, and I fell for her.
No, I love that. And, you know, that's a good thing that whenever you did switch from tech services to IT is that, like, tech services is always in the back.
Right.
And you've been amazing, you know, forward-facing, customer-facing, patron-facing.
Appreciate that.
And because you've always gotten, anytime that you did help out even tech services, you always got the patron wrote the library.
And
so
right.
I'm like, oh, Tony was so great.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to see you in this, like, new role.
Yeah.
And you're, like, forward-facing. You're out of the back.
And that is kind of hits me in one of my fortes, I guess. Because, you know, even when I was, you know, doing tech services, it was kind of a split job, you know, circulation clerk, tech services. And I really feel like I do really well with customer service. I don't know why. I don't know if it's my need to, you know, please people or just, you know, just...
Because you're helpful and
helpful
knowledgeable.
Or what? Knowledgeable. But maybe just because I've been here forever and old hat at this now. But that is one of the things that's a challenge, but also the most rewarding is being out there for 10 hours exposed, you know, not to, you know, customers all the time, patrons, and you know, it can be a challenge. Some people can be, you know, demanding and not understand the service that we're offering out there and think we offer a little more than we do. But when someone really appreciates what we offer, that's the really good rewarding thing about the job, and I love that about it. And
that is a really good way to look at it.
Yeah. I can't say I've ever dreaded a day working this job. in that entire time. I might not have wanted to come, but as far as like, you know, that pit of your stomach feeling with some jobs, you know, you just don't.
You wake up and you...
That Sunday night feeling, I've never had that in the last 15 years. This place is just amazing for that reason.
Yeah. And so, you know, we talked about like helping out the patrons on like from a library standpoint.
Sure.
But you've had your hand in like some of the fun programming stuff the library's done. Like you used to do the like teen gamers here.
I have. In fact, that was one of the first directions I thought I wanted to go in. She wasn't the YAE teen librarian at the time, but Brittany Chavez kind of pulled me in to do outreach back in 2011, 2012, you know, before we really even had a teen library, you know, set up. And we'd go out there and we'd just wing it, you know. And so that's how I got into doing the gamers on Wednesday nights. I did that for almost a decade. You know,
that was a long-standing program.
That was the longest running program at the time. I don't know if it's the longest, you know, record. It may be. But it was
Bingo
started.
Might have a good run.
Bingo might have a run. Continuous program. Yeah, that one went forever.
And now you're working on another one.
Yeah.
Every Sunday.
This is a big one. This is new.
Well, this one's a little bit different. I set this one up intentionally to be on a day I didn't work. Because in the past, you know, that, you know, I love video games. I'm somewhat a hobby tourist, I will say. But, yeah, I wanted to set the chess club up, the Garland County Chess Club, on a Sunday where I didn't work so I could come in and play because I love the game and I started a couple years ago. And if I was on the clock, you know, it would be more of a host position rather than I'm just another member of the club. That's really it. You know, maybe I got it going, but that's it, you know, right now. And it's going well.
it's huge. And I love it. You get to like... You get to be a part of the Reindeer Games now. You get to actually be a part of this program that you put up.
Exactly.
And it's it started out where it was like teens and adults, but then it kind of grew that like there shouldn't be a barrier there.
Yeah, it was like a separate.
Right.
Yeah, like two different. Yeah.
I have been trying to start it since probably July 2021 with our adult program director. And, you know, we kind of kept kicking the can down the road with COVID. And interestingly enough, it really wasn't a problem or anything, but we hired our new teen librarian, Brett.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Brett. And he didn't think anything about it. You know, he started his teen chess club, and, you know, then I was like, Paul, why can't we have teen chess club and not adult? And so we went ahead and got it going in February, finally, of 22. And after a little bit, I talked to Brett, and he was amenable to just combining them. So now we opened a 10 and up, and just last Sunday, it was so great. I don't know how old these kids were, but some online players, maybe 12, 13, playing with, you know, the older regulars, you know. And
that's
it was
awesome.
Just so great to see them playing and just... It just subverts, you know, age, the chess.
And it's a classic game. It's a
safe
library, you know.
Right.
You can come in here. And I saw a picture on Facebook, I think, where, like, all the tables over there were full of chess.
Yeah,
players.
That was amazing. That was an amazing turnout. Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago. Unfortunately, I had the flu for that one. So, but that's why I set it up that way, so that I don't have to be there. If I lived closer, I'd be there every time. But the fact that it continues on and that people still come out to play without needing a host, a library representative, that was the whole idea. And we've reached that. And I think that's a pretty big deal, honestly,
yeah.
To get something
great.
That will continuously go without needing, you know, a lot of promotion, without needing a lot of library representation for the program itself.
Yeah,
and we got a
great.
Whole bunch of chess books too.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, and so a whole new section, basically.
Basically, a whole section. we had a few, but one of our regulars now. I'm so happy that he's been continuing to come. Mr. Bruce Garnett, local lawyer, donated half of his chess collection, I believe, and. Got all the donation placards in there, and we finally got them on the shelf. And I've been perusing them myself a lot lately.
I also want to mention that you have at least one Braille chessboard.
We did early on. There was a gentleman that came in and said he was a player, mm-hmm. and I was not even aware that was a thing. It's just something I never even considered. And he asked me if we had a Braille board, and you know, I was like, no, but I would love to get one. I've only got to use it once so far, and it wasn't with that gentleman. It was with a younger patron, about 12. The Arkansas School for the Deaf and Blind had come in to do a tour, and
he was awesome.
A player, and yeah, and so I wanted. He showed me which pieces are which, because you know they're by feel, and it's each square has a peg, and so it fits into that peg. And so every time a move is made, he has to touch the whole board to see it, to see what's changed. And after he showed me which pieces were which, I showed him the, you know, the opening scholar's mate, you know, the four move checkmate that you see in the Queen's Gambit. And I didn't even have to show him the last two moves. I showed him the first two, and he did the latter two. He saw what was coming. So he was, you know, it was pretty neat. There's a picture of that somewhere.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
I would love to have someone that would come in regularly, but
we're putting it out there.
Yeah. If you play
or any chess, what is it? Every Sunday from 2 to 5.
Yeah. Basically, it's every Sunday. We started out every other Sunday, and then.
That's hard to remember.
It's hard to remember. Yeah. And the main thing for me is I knew when I started I'd have to come probably for the, you know, for a few months to get it, to get the members coming. And that's what ended up happening. And once, you know, we were about 5 months in, we had enough people coming. I felt like, you know, okay, I'm probably still going to only be able to come every couple weeks, you know, at most.
It's like a self-sustaining beast.
Right. So at that point, it was self-sustaining. And the members were even asking, you know, well, is it every first Sunday, every first and third Sunday? And I'm like, no, just every other Sunday. So we just said, you know, why discourage people from coming to the library and playing chess?
Yeah.
Why would we do that? So let's just make it every Sunday, you know?
And you could just set them up on the tables out there. You don't even need, like, a quiet room for it, really. Because typically
it's not like a party.
It's not really a rowdy game.
You would be surprised. Chess players are very passionate, I'll say. And I feel that myself. And I try to tone it down. But, they're very passionate. And they want things how they want them.
But our tables are very heavy, hard to flip.
No flipping the board. I mean, you could probably grab the actual chessboard and fly it around. But yeah, don't do that either.
Yeah, we're grown-ups here.
We've even thought maybe putting a little light jazz or some light classical on in the background. Yeah. But it's over in the nonfiction section, so we have about 6 tables over there, you know, a couple games per table. So right now we've still got room to grow. And my main mission as far as doing an actual library program for the chess club, where I would probably host, is to get an expert, a master maybe, to come and do a simul, which a simul is really interesting. That's where one player plays everybody at the same time. He walks around the room.
That'd be cool.
Beats everybody. You know, if you've seen the Queen's Gambit, you see her do it when she's young. Just walks around the rooms and, makes a move. And I hope to do that in the first or second quarter of this year. I gotta find the master first.
When you do that, I want to be part of it. Yeah. I want to lose.
I'll probably put a board up for myself as well. But I'll definitely want to host that.
Over here.
I don't even want to say like I want to win. I'll just lose with everyone else and be happy about it.
I would like that. It'd be a neat program.
You know, it's very addicting, and you got to really deal with. And it's one of the reasons I started playing was to deal with some of my competition anxiety. You know, I've been a tennis player, you know.
We're in a band, too.
Yeah, I'm a musician. That's kind of competitive, I guess. But, I've always had a little bit of competition anxiety. And chess makes you deal with it like nothing else. I mean, it's just you, the board, and the other player, you know. So you really, there's no getting away from the intense competition of it, even if it's just a casual game, you know. But it can lift you up, you know, so high and bring you down so low. You gotta find the balance.
Looking for more local content like this and so much more? Click subscribe by visiting hotsr.com.
I guess speaking of things I've had my hand in, you know, I really tried hard for 4 years before the pandemic to get table tennis going here. It just wasn't quite the right fit. You know, I had gotten a pretty good following going, and we even had donations of tables lined up. Just the pandemic hit, and it really showed us the premium on space in a building this. And my back thanked me, actually, because I was having to carry 80-pound tables, you know. Just I figured it up in one day. If we did a tournament, a table tennis tournament, I would be lifting over a ton that day. I added it up, and it was just quite an ordeal. But I love table tennis too, still, you know. Like I said, I'm a hobby tourist, but, you know, I generally, if I put some time into it, I hang on to it, you know. My first hobby, of course, was video games, of course. And I still do that.
Do you have any plans going forward for, like, a new program or something that...
No, I think I'm pretty tied up for the moment, yeah, with the, you know, challenges of learning more about how we're going to be addressing IT and the networking of our new remodel.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be huge for you guys.
That's gonna be a huge undertaking. I'm excited, you know, a little scared, you know, excited to learn a lot more. I'll probably just stick with the chess club now, and, you know,
wait till after everything settles.
I don't have any grand ideas of anything new, but I've got a lot of ideas to make the chess club better, we've got, you know, I was happy to have been able to claim Garland County Chess Club, the name, on Facebook, to keep it real simple, you know, facebook.com/GarlandCountyChessClub. And right now I don't have a whole lot of content on there, but I want to add more. I want to make it more engaging. Now that we have are open to 10 and up, you know, I think that will maybe hopefully get some more engagement from the younger folks, you know, the people that don't use it.
G-triple-C.
G-triple-C, yeah, it works perfectly. And, you know, it's something we could actually have a meet somewhere else, but, you know, why would we? This place is perfect.
Yeah, it's pretty good here.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is when I started doing gaming, actually it was Adam Webb, our current director. He was head page at the time. He knew I played video games, and he invited me to a seminar on gaming in libraries, and that had to be 2008, probably. Yeah, he invited me back then to do the seminar with him. And, you know, that's really where gaming at this library started. And, you know, he went on to do big and great things, obviously, being our director.
Yeah, new director.
Doing a great job. Great job. Good boss. But what's interesting is he was a chess player already then. And he got some donations of 4 or 5 club boards. And it just didn't take off back then, you know. The 2020, we really, with the Queen's Gambit and the pandemic, we really, chess has been never been more popular. And it's really great. But all those years, he's had those donations of those 5 club boards, and they've just been sitting around. And, you know, it kind of comes full circle, you know, when I started playing chess around July 2020. And wanted to start this club, so...
we already had it.
Yeah, like, we already had the boards.
We already had the boards.
And we'll probably need some new club boards at some point, but...
if anyone out there has any donations that you want to do...
No, people are great about that. Well, most of the regulars, they bring their own club board, you know. I bring a couple myself, you know, and we're never short on boards.
I would see it like pool sharks, you know, like they have their own board.
Right,
like
in the case.
Yeah. Yeah. I use my own piece. pieces.
I have that
scribbled together.
Yeah,
I have that going on with my table tennis bat. I have a little. It's like a little mini briefcase. You know, you can imagine a table tennis.
The second someone brings their own anything to anything, I'm like, all right, it's too rich for me.
That's
it's over. Yeah. Say, all right, I'll lose.
Yeah,
I'll lose.
Well, Tony, thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having
me.
Yeah.
Let's do it again sometime. So we usually end with like a question.
Irrelevant question.
Which one you got? You got something?
Okay. I don't know. I usually like, what's your second favorite dinosaur?
Not your
first.
Dinosaur.
We don't care about it.
Yeah, your second favorite.
That's tough. I don't know if I have a favorite.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Okay.
Were you a kid ever?
Okay, I'll go with Stegosaurus. That was my dinosaur. All right,
nice.
You know, I wanted to say Raptor. Everybody wants to say Raptor, right?
Okay, no, I don't
So I'll drop down to the Stegosaurus, you know, the leaf
eater. What's yours? You've never
my
even
second favorite?
This. Yeah, your second favorite.
See, my first is Stegosaurus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like that. Probably an Ankylosaurus.
Those are my favorite.
Okay. See, I don't even know what that looks like, so.
It's very much like a small armor, you know.
Yeah, and it's got a little tail.
Oh,
like
the, oh I know what you're talking about.
Give me, like, armadillo or
tail. He's got the lethal tail.
Yeah, he's got, like, a
tail.
Horned, like,
All
right. Cool. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony. All
right.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Checked Out.
From the Garland County Library.
New episodes released each Friday from the Razorback Camper Cell Studios. I'm D.B. Cooper.
And I'm Erin Baber.
Thanks for listening.